Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is exploring community impact and dissemination of strategies in localizing the Talk, They Hear You campaign with special guests Amy Reiner and Christine Browner. Now here's our guest host, Leslie Hoyleman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of season 3 on Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. This podcast is hosted by the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion, and I'm your guest host, Leslie Hoyleman. I am honored to serve Ohio as a project manager with the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion and the Partnership for Community-Based Prevention at the Voinovich School for Leadership and Public Service. Talk They Hear You is a national youth substance prevention campaign created in 2013 by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, also known as SAMHSA. It aims to raise awareness of the prevalence and risks of underage drinking and substance use and helps parents, caregivers, educators, and community members get informed, be prepared, and take action to prevent underage drinking and other substance use. Earlier this year, the center implemented a multi-tiered approach to disseminate the Talk They Hear You campaign statewide through multiple media channels, awarding 27 community organizations with up to $10,000 each to localize the campaign. Grantees used a variety of culturally relevant strategies to bring the messages to life within the communities they serve. These localized messages have reached people in places like schools, theaters, open houses, and public transit. Today, we are pleased to share a conversation with two guests to discuss different dissemination strategies they implemented while localizing the Talk They Hear You campaign. First, we are honored to introduce Amy Reiner, Outreach Coordinator at Pickaway Addiction Action Coalition, also known as PAC, a drug-free communities coalition. Amy is passionate about promoting prevention and healthy decision-making within the community. She is dedicated to reducing substance misuse among youth and young adults in Pickaway County, particularly among emerging substances that are not FDA approved and pose unique challenges. Amy works diligently to ensure that all voices remain at the table to guide this important work. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you and Christine.
Thank you. Also, we are excited to have Christine Browner, the Strategic Project Advisor at 1 in 5 serving Southwest Ohio. She is passionate about creating healthier communities through suicide prevention and mental health education. As a certified prevention specialist and registered nurse, Christine has led key partnerships guiding schools and organizations in adopting evidence-based programs and developing resources that make conversations about mental health more accessible and impactful. Welcome, Christine.
Thanks, Leslie. Happy to be here with you and Amy.
Thank you both for joining us today. I am grateful and excited to be speaking with you both. Before we jump into our discussion, however, our listeners really enjoy getting to know our guests beyond their bio. So at the beginning of the show, we always carve out a little bit of time for you to share a bit about who you are off paper beyond the bio that I just read. Feel free to share a little bit about your workday, perhaps something about your work that inspires you, or even a personal nugget or fun fact about you that you feel comfortable sharing with our audience. Amy, would you like to go first?
Absolutely. First of all, I became a grandma for the first time on Saturday the 13th.
Congratulations.
Baby girl. So that's the best nugget. I have worked at PAC for 2 years. I worked formerly in a school here in Circleville for over 16 years, and I helped kids with guidance and scholarships. And I felt like the time was right for me to go and try this out to work with other kids within the county. And we have built a youth group, and it's flourishing, and I'm really excited to see what's going to happen.
That's fantastic. And again, congratulations on the new addition to your family. Now let's hear from Christine.
Yeah. So, Amy, you and I have both had big life changes recently. Exciting. Our oldest son just got married a month ago. So we have an addition to our family as well. So we share that. I would say, Leslie, that my job is never boring at 1 in 5. And it's actually one of the things that I love most about it. One day I might be out leading trainings with educators or parents or caregivers. The next I'm at a wellness fair chatting with families, or I'm back at my desk working on the community mental health education day that 1 in 5 sponsors. So it's really a mix of both strategic planning and very grassroots connection with people. But what I think I love most about my job is those light bulb moments where I'm talking to a parent or a caregiver, even an educator, and those really short everyday conversations around mental health or substance abuse can make such a difference. And as I have 5 children, so as a mom of 5, I know really firsthand how important those conversations are. On a more personal note, I would say that I really love the outdoors. A good run or a hike or just being out on my patio in the sunshine really helps ground me.
Absolutely. Thank you both for sharing a little bit more and letting us get to know you a bit better. I can definitely relate to some of all of your stories. And so I'm just so thankful again to be here today and to be joining with you to dig in to our conversation here about implementation strategies and the Talk They Hear You campaign. So before a campaign can take root in a community, there's always a story about how that begins, right? So to explore this initial decision-making process, I'd like to start by asking you both about the motivations behind adopting the Talk They Hear You campaign and the strategies you use to introduce a campaign to the communities you serve. So, Amy, what motivated PAC to apply for funds to localize the Talk They Hear You campaign?
Well, we received the email and we were sitting around with my coworker, Susan, discussing and what other avenues we can take. And we've realized in our small town, it's trying to reach the parents. We have a lot of grandparents who are raising their grandchildren here. And even guardians with aunts and uncles raising the kids. And so it's how do we reach them? How do we get to them? I talked with the schools, like, you need to go to them to get them to come see you. And I hate to say it, but you almost have to offer things free for people to get involved and to be active. But we realized that how do we reach those parents and guardians who don't come to school events, who don't come to open houses or to things that are offered that we have a table event in town. And so we were thinking of, you know, people are driving on billboards. The pharmacy, we have a local pharmacy who's privately owned, and amazing how many people need prescriptions. And he was willing to work with us, as well as we have several pizza shops, but one in particular was willing to put some flyers on their pizza boxes to start that conversation, to keep it going, that you're the first teachers of your children.
Thank you, Amy. And Christine, what made 1 in 5 interested in the funding opportunity?
So 1 in 5, at 1 in 5, our mission has always been rooted in mental health education and suicide prevention. But we also recognize how deeply intertwined substance use is with mental health. And really, we know that the data backs that up, that youth who misuse alcohol and other substances are at a much higher risk for anxiety and depression and even suicidal thoughts. And the reverse is true, too, obviously. So for us, when we heard about this opportunity, adopting the Talk They Hear You campaign was really just a natural extension of the work that we already do.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I was wondering too, Amy, what were the specific challenges? I know you mentioned some previously, right, about trying to get that message and build engagement with caregivers. And so I was just wondering if there were any specific challenges in Pickaway County that this campaign addressed.
A lot of people in our town like to want to be friends with their children and not use the word no. And when we have gone to open houses and to tabling events, we've talked about that regarding, you know, you can still be their friend, but you also have to be able to say no and know where your children are at all times. We don't have transportation, so we can't do flowers. We don't even have, we have a newspaper three times a week it comes. So communication is very minimal here. We do have a Facebook post person that does input and updates and stuff, but older generation don't get on Facebook. They're not computer savvy, so they don't know those things. So communication and reaching out to our community has been one of the hardest things to get out there. And so what I've learned with my position is communication is everything. Whereas if I don't know someone at the Visitors Bureau, someone else on my board, someone else in my committee might know someone. Or just, for instance, like the billboard situation, we didn't know how to contact. But it's all in communicating. And so that's how we kind of started spreading the word, like, oh, you're going to a table event, or oh, you're going to the school counselor's meeting. Can you share this information? So it's about that communication within the county and trying to get the story out about what is needed in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Communication and building that relationship, right? Those are two big hurdles oftentimes in implementing campaign and implementing strategies. Christine, what about Southwest Ohio? Were there any challenges that One in Fine aimed to address?
So I think similar themes in Southwest Ohio too. I think one of the biggest challenges we have, and I don't think this is unique to really our region, but is really silence. And we see how stigma keeps adults, parents, educators, caregivers from really talking openly about mental health and suicide. And the same thing is really true around substance use and underage drinking. And when we looked at the data, the statewide survey, the Ohio Healthy Youth Environmental Survey, it shows that just 50% of youth say that their parents talk about substance abuse with them. So, I mean, that's a problem because we know that if we don't talk to youth, they start filling in the gaps themselves. And that's not always the right information. So for us, this Talk They Hear You campaign became a way for us to really equip adults with the confidence and the language. Again, it's communication, like Amy was talking about, to really have those conversations. And it helps normalize something that should never be a taboo in the first place, talking about substance use and underage drinking with kids.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah, that communication piece and talking with our youth, right? It can never happen frequently enough, right? Like, it's definitely something that's ongoing. Something that I truly appreciate as well about the resources within the Talk They Hear You campaign. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about how the organizations adapted the Talk They Hear You campaign to reflect the local needs of the communities. Maybe you'd like to share a little bit about the approaches you use to deliver the message and its impact. Because after all, implementation is where strategy meets action, right? So we've done some of the initial planning. So now it's time to roll that out and see what we can do as far as making that impact in the community. So can you walk us through the implementation process and how the organization determined where to focus their efforts? Like, for example, how did the organization decide which communities or neighborhoods would receive the Talk to Hear You messaging, and how would that messaging be presented?
So when we thought about where we wanted to focus our efforts, we really wanted to be intentional about reaching the adults who have the most day-to-day influence in young people's lives. And for us, of course, that meant parents and caregivers, but it also meant educators. It meant finding adults where they spend time, so in their workplaces. And so those were really natural groups for us to focus on because One in Five already works in those areas with those individuals for mental health education and suicide prevention. So we could literally just integrate the Talk They Hear You messaging into our existing relationships. We really wanted it to use kind of a layered, practical approach to dissemination. So we thought about where we could make a broad impact. And one of those was putting an ad in the Cincinnati Children's Theater Playbill. So that way we can really reach thousands of families right where they are. We also created co-branded materials one in five and Talk They Hear You materials that we gave out at tabling events. So again, this is something that we do often. We go to wellness fairs, we go to schools, we even go to businesses, and we have real conversations with families about mental health and suicide prevention. And so we added in the discussions about substance use and underage drinking, where we can really answer questions and have real conversations with people, and put those that material that we created right directly in their hands.
Yes, I appreciate that. In fact, that kind of goes alongside, and we'll talk about this more later on, the statewide approach that also the center did as well, right? Using those different avenues and those different platforms and really trying to disseminate it across as wide a reach as possible. And also kind of creating that top of mind awareness as well, right? Like they see the message here, they attend event, they get something there, they're seeing it in a newsletter, they're hearing it, out in the community. I really appreciate that. Amy, I just wanted to touch base with you too to see what decisions were made when implementing the Talk They Hear campaign for Pickaway County.
Well, after I got out of the high school, I realized that a lot of people start their day at the coffee shops. And my family always teased me like, oh, mom's got another meeting at the coffee shop. Which was true. We had meetings, but we also had to have a good coffee. So we have two local coffee shops, homegrown here, created. And we also reached out to one of our other neighboring cities in our county. And we worked with the coffee shops regarding, they have those sleeves that go on for the hot coffee. And one in particular, one of our coffee shops makes beautiful Jesus loves you, just little signs on it, And so we ask if we create a sticker, can we put that on the back of the coffee sleeve? So they'll see the front of it and they'll see the back of it. And it talks about, you can hit this QR code and it will take you to some other options of questions that you can talk to your kids. And then we looked at the avenue of pizza boxes where we wanted to put in some different questions. So we looked at your website, at the Talk They Hear You website, and we tried to collaborate how we can work with each area and pinpoint certain topics that they can be reached. And the same as we did at the pharmacy with all four sides, And we worked out really well with a company that our pharmacy has 24,000 bags to use. So Talk They Hear You is going to be around in our community for a while, which I'm happy. And they go through a lot, but I'm happy that they'll have those bags for a while. So when I go almost every other week or something to pick up, I have a bag that we created. So it's really exciting to see. But to get that communication out there, and whether if it's, there's a lot of young moms who are stay at home and they have Bible studies at these places, or we have the older generation that go to Y in the morning and then they go have coffee at the other one. So they see those sleeves, all different ages, even including we have a Christian university here. So it's the younger version too, the young adults. That they see those things about talking, they hear you. Where's the best time to talk? Those little facts of best time is in a car, don't have to make eye contact, they can't jump out.
Yes, absolutely. I like how you utilize or built relationships with, it sounds like, three different local businesses. Well, maybe four if you had two coffee shops, a pharmacy, and a pizza place. Building and strengthening those community relationships as well is so important when you're thinking about sustainability and coalition work. So it was a definite win-win for that. And I think did PAC also use roadside billboards?
We did. We had, and that was another thing regarding where it comes into community. We didn't know where to start looking for billboards. You go flying past it and it says, if you want to rent, here's the number. So I reached out to our Visitors Bureau, and one of the ladies on the Visitors Bureau is in our engagement coalition group. And she told me about who we can contact. And so we told him, we reached out to him, and he gave us markups of what he could use. We told him we're a nonprofit. This is a grant that we received. Where was the best location? Circleville, we have a main line through our community, a main road, and it's called Route 23. It has been named the drug pipeline of Ohio, going up 23 from 23 on the river all the way up. And so we were looking at billboards out on that road, as well as we had one that was heading out a different route towards more of the farmers and to one other school in our county. And so we told him we really wanted to try to have it for 3 months, and he gave us a deal. But it all came back to communication, because we didn't know where to start that. And so it's all in who you know, and you know who knows someone else, and it's that telephone committee.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but according to the vendor, I believe those billboards have provided over 2 million impressions.
And that is awesome. And all we did was come up with a picture, and he put it on there. It's amazing.
Yes. And thanks for talking through that process, because there could be some in our audience that have, that's uncharted territory for them as well. So I really appreciate you kind of walking through that process and how that worked in your community, because you might give them some ideas about who to contact in their own communities that they're serving.
With the bulletin boards, we came up with, I think they were like 4x6 big banners, like you do like graduation banners for high school kids and college kids. And on that main road on 23, we have the State Highway Patrol, as well as the Sheriff Department is located. And so we asked if we could put these banners out there in their yard. And as of right now, since when do we put them out there? In March, they're still out there in front of the buildings. And so they see them coming and going. And I asked my coworker, I said, are we keeping them up? And she goes, until they tell us that we got to take them down, they're staying.
Back to that communication and relationship building, right, that you both talked about earlier. Christine, I know that your organization, like you mentioned, had a diverse range of creative strategies, like the campaign materials and different newsletters, co-branding, printed materials. I think you went to 6 tabling events with that. And the unique training slides with the campaign messages for the trainers to choose from. Could you share a little bit about why 1 in 5 chose those particular strategies and the impact they have made?
So I think we chose them because we were really building on work that we already do. And it is areas, it's relationships, like Amy talked about. She has a good relationship with the Sheriff's Department. We have a great relationships with over 130 schools in our region, and numerous businesses and community organizations. So we leverage those relationships to be able to continue this message for the Talk They Hear You campaign and substance misuse and underage drinking. So we really kind of weaved it into the fabric of what we already do. And I think that's how we were really able to reach people, because we reach all of these constituents, all of these stakeholders, all of these parents, all of these adults and educators, anyways, with mental health education and suicide prevention. So it was really successful in that way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Is there any advice that you'd like to share with others who may be thinking about diversifying their strategy?
I think it's probably just building upon what you're already good at, right? Every community, every organization already has its own strengths. They already have, you know, good relationships and partnerships with various people in their community. And so, you know, it could be schools like it is for us. It could be faith-based community. It could be an active social media following, whatever it is, but really leaning on those relationships that you already have in those partnerships to be able to spread the messaging. And
So don't reinvent the wheel, I guess, is what I would like to say. Like, let the campaigns kind of ride along with what you're already doing. And so it doesn't really feel like as much as an add-on as part of the prevention work you do anyways, at least for 1 in 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that strength-based approach, right? Coming at it from your strength-based approach, which you're already good at, and then it becomes more organic and natural and fluid, right? Yes, I totally appreciate that. Well, as both of you were working hard to reach the communities with the Talk They Hear You message, the center was working, of course, as I mentioned previously, to amplify the work, right, by coordinating that mass media campaign, which generated an additional 2.1 million impressions across Ohio. And the center also utilized SAMHSA's Talk They Hear You public service announcements and broadcasted them on live and streaming TV and radio, developed social media ads with geofencing capabilities, and incorporated a mass email marketing campaign. So I guess I'd like to pivot just a little bit in the conversation just to kind of learn more about how this large-scale media campaign kind of running in the background, how it offered support or impacted the outreach efforts of your organizations.
It was pretty cool. We have a 10 o'clock news here and through Channel 6 or ABC and Fox. And I was sitting there watching the news and it came across and I'm like, I was going, my husband's going, that's it. That's it. That's what we're doing. And it was amazing because I didn't realize how many people just stay up just to watch the news at 10 till the weather. And then everybody goes to bed because the next day people were emailing me, people were texting me going, hey, is this what you're doing? Is this Talk They Hear You that I saw the ad? And so that opened a lot of conversations when our board and Susan and I would go out to Rotary or to the city council or to school events. And we talk about it, that other people started hearing it. And so they were impressed that, oh, so they do know what they're talking about. And they are working, you know, statewide as well as nationally regarding trying to stop the substance use and misuse with our kids and how the big companies are targeting our kids and how bad these things are.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing you say, it sounds like it added like a level of credibility to your efforts so that it kind of amplified your efforts even more so because it was kind of sort of laying a foundation in some ways. That's exciting to hear. Thank you for sharing that. And Christine, what more can you share about the impact?
But it's really the same in Southwest Ohio. And I think that was a secret sauce of the Talk They Hear You campaign, mm-hmm. is that it amplified the local work we were doing. So while we were embedding messages into our newsletters and the trainings mm-hmm. and the tabling events that we went to, having those statewide initiatives that you described, Leslie, really running in the background gave more weight to what we were doing. And we know that, again, it's that layering approach, right? When mm-hmm. one person hears something multiple times, it helps really stick.
You both have mentioned some a little bit, but I just kind of wanted to give a little bit more space to see if there was anything more you have to add, like if you've received any feedback, positive or constructive feedback from parents, youth, or other stakeholders about how the campaign influenced their conversations or attitudes.
So what we've seen is an increased engagement with our resources. So people are picking up materials at events. They're opening our newsletters. We're having discussions when we're out talking to people. And I think to me, it shows that it's sparking curiosity and it's really opening the door to those conversations. And we know that in prevention work, sometimes really that is the first step and a really good indicator that change is starting to happen. So definitely, I think there's been a very positive impact. And I think one of the best parts of the Talk They Hear You campaign is that it's bigger than just one organization, right? It's not just Amy doing the work in her county. It's just not us doing the work in Southwest Ohio, but it's becomes part of a movement when it's a statewide initiative like this.
Yes, so true. Amy, do you have anything else you'd like to add to that? Some feedback from your area?
I can piggyback off of Christine as well. It's sparking that they know what they're talking about, you know, and the vape shops keep opening, but people are starting to ask why, you know, why do we want these here? We don't want them here. We need to make that change going forward that we don't want this stuff in our community. And we've had people reach out to us, like I said, at events like Christine at the table events at open houses, as well as we've gone to city council and talked to the mayor about this, this is bigger than just us, and that more people in our community are starting to realize there is a definite problem and it's very scary. And we need to join forces together to work together to fight this for our youth. Because we held another event and I had over 30 facilitators there regarding judges, lawyers, professors. Who else? We had park district people. We had superintendents come. So they're seeing that it takes a village to help these kids grow and to realize this is our future of our county, and we want those kids to keep coming back to Pickaway County. They might go away to college, but we would like them to come back to continue to build and grow our county. And we just want to make sure that this layering of spreading the word, continue to keep talking about it, that we don't want it here. It's not good. Environmentally, emotionally, physically, mentally for these kids. It's not good.
Thank you both for sharing these insights into implementing the Talk They Hear You campaign and how it's really building that community and that communication and relationships within the work that you are both doing and your organizations are doing within the communities that you serve. It's incredibly useful to hear how others receive the campaign messaging and worked collectively to implement the strategies in these communities. So as we think about planning and implementation of a strategy, the work of sustaining these efforts should also be included, right? It's like an ongoing, as we're going through this SPIF flower, right, the strategic prevention framework. And so sustaining prevention efforts beyond initial funding is often one of those greatest challenges that we're working with. It requires creativity, resourcefulness, and strong partnerships to ensure that prevention messages continue to remain visible long after a grant period ends. Equally important is capturing those lessons learned along the way and sharing those insights with other communities that may be embarking on similar efforts. So, Amy, beyond the initial funding, how is PAC working to keep the prevention message alive in the community? I know you mentioned you have your banners up, you know, and that you're continuing to have those sorts of messaging outlets in the community. Are there other strategies that you'd like to add?
We have a wonderful social media person who, once we get a toolkit regarding mental health awareness or suicide awareness, when we get those toolkits, we send it to her and she starts putting blips out on our social media. We have Facebook and we have Instagram. I'm old school. All I have is Facebook and Twitter. I don't do Instagram. And so that's another frustrating thing with the older generation and trying to make that contact. She also tries to share it with that local social media person that we have in our county. With our building of our relationships with the sheriff, and I know other places like the park district in our community, once we share something out, they share it out and continue moving it around in our community. The other thing is that we work with our health department very closely, as well as our local hospital. The in-kind that we share back and forth regarding, we have small copiers. We don't have copiers that are big and they can do all the color and everything. So we ask them, can you make copies of this so we can post it? We've created relationships with our communication coordinators at all four schools in the district, in our county. We have four local school districts. And if I have something, they'll push it out, because then you have the parents following the schools either on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, as well as they also have all those final forms. So parents nowadays have to fill out those emergency medical forms and everything online. So they can send stuff out that way to get messaging to the parents. The relationship we have with the schools and the principals, that if they create a newsletter, they will, if we're doing something, they will attach that into their newsletter about what's going on and what's happening. We are working with another, Pickway Area Recovery Service, and we are working with the middle school age and having functions there. We work with our Y. We work with, there's another bounce place in our community that we try to have table events on Friday nights to have the middle school age come and say, we don't have a skating rink anymore. We don't have bowling alleys. We don't have movie theaters. These kids have nothing to do. And so we are trying to help with the kids, and we send this information out to those schools saying, hey, from 6 to 8, we have glow-in-the-dark dodgeball, and we had that at the Y. And we had pizzas and food and chips. We had over 50 kids. Now, that seems small, but for the first time, that was pretty good. We were happy. And so we actually had some teachers reach out to us going, okay, so where'd you get this dodgeball equipment and all this stuff? So the talk is getting out there, and we just need to keep it going. We went to an open house and parent-teacher conference, and we had two grandmas come, and her two grandchildren, one grandma, her two grandchildren ratted her out. The boys keep telling me I need to quit vaping, and I'm vaping because I quit cigarettes. And I looked at the boys, I go, keep doing what you're doing. I said, tell grandma, let's go out for a walk. If she gets the nervous habit, get cinnamon mints, you know, get grandma active in a way so she's not just sitting around thinking, I got to take that hit off that vape.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're doing so many things, so many awesome, amazing things, right? To keep this going, to sustain your prevention work and this prevention message in the community. And it all, again, sounds like to me, it all goes back to the relationship building, right? And Christine, are there other ways or ways that you'd like to share that 1 in 5 is actively working to sustain prevention messaging in Southwest Ohio?
So, Leslie, you're exactly right that sustainability is so important, and prevention is not a one and done thing, right? We have to keep having the conversations, keep talking about it. And so for 1 in 5, I think even after the grant ended, it really sparked more conversation in our agency about how we can weave the issue of substance misuse and underage drinking into our messaging, because as we know, mental health and suicide is so tightly intertwined with substance misuse. So we created a new brochure. We have brochures around all different types of anxiety, depression, other issues. And we created a new brochure that specifically focuses on substance abuse and highlights signs and symptoms and how to connect with resources and things like that. We also updated our website to include more specific information about substance use and substance misuse alongside our mental health and suicide prevention contact. So that's been, I think, two really big changes that we've made to keep this discussion going at 1 in 5 and with the adults that we work with and kids too.
Thank you for both for sharing how you've thought about that sustainability piece, right, of the work. Based on your experiences, is there any advice that you would give other communities on building prevention efforts that last beyond the grant period?
Again, look for opportunities that already exist. So sustainability doesn't always mean doing something new or finding brand new ways or building new programs. It sometimes just means weaving in more prevention or specific topics into the work that you're already doing. So I think that is, if we're going to create sustainable discussions, is really building on again, the strengths of the community and the organizations that you work with.
Mm, absolutely. Yes. That weaving factor, right? Building on what's already been there, right? Yes. I love that. Anything more you would like to add, Amy?
I agree with Christine 100%. And realizing our schools, we need to keep talking to our administration. The teachers are pulled every which way and they're maxed out, that we need to keep the communication lines open to those schools' administrators to let them know that we have community members willing to come in, help. We had a student who was part of our youth who now works part-time with the health department, that she created vape kits. So the four schools in our county now have vape kits. So when a kid gets busted with a vape, and it has mint, it has cinnamon, it has a tea bag for a certain tea, we worked with our prosecuting attorney to get journal books. And so these kids are starting to get this. So to, one, work on why do I want to vape? You know, the mental issues. Is it anxiety? Is it sitting in my bedroom stewing all night long about an exam that's coming up? The mental activities about writing your thoughts down. And I don't know if you have been in the school system lately or whatever, but the art programs and music programs have really grown in our county. And I can only draw stick figures. But the kids, that is one way these kids release anxiety and stress, is by artwork or by writing. And that was discussed in our youth meeting yesterday, and how we can incorporate those things to share with the community, whether it's making something and creating it for an art show for them, so when the parents and grandparents and guardians come in and they can be aware of it. But our key factor right now is to continue working with our schools, because if you suspend a kid, you're hurting them so much longer if you make them leave in 5 days, 10 days. But if they have the counseling, okay, like Christine said, it's not a one and done thing. You have to keep going back. You got to find the root problem of why. Is it a generational thing with families living with families and everybody sitting around smoking vapes or drinking and that's all they know? Or is it, you know, my big brother bought me one? Some, you know, you have to find that root. What's causing that root? You know, is someone staying home to babysit their little brother at night because mom and dad are working third shift, or is just one parent and trying to figure out how to do things? And so we don't know what happens behind closed doors with those kids, and we have to be able to have that open relationship with them.
So it sounds like to me that big advice, right, is building those relationships with the schools, has really helped sustain all that prevention work and prevention efforts in your community. Goes back to that relationship building as well. Well, I could stay on this podcast talking to both of you for probably all day and learn all different amazing nuggets of information, given the wide and vast experience you both have. But we have to park this bus sometime, right? So we've reached that time in the conversation when we ask our guests a few rapid-fire questions to close out the conversation. These are meant to be lighthearted and fun, and they're a popular segment of the podcast for our listeners. So all you need to do is just answer the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? No right or wrong answers here. When managing projects like messaging campaigns, would you rather use a whiteboard or a spreadsheet?
Spreadsheet.
Whiteboard.
Spreadsheet and a whiteboard, one and one, okay? Partnerships were very important, as you all attested to in this conversation, right? Very important to the efforts of each organization's implementation strategy. When building new partnerships, do you prefer a chat over lunch or a larger networking event?
Chatting over lunch or coffee.
Totally agree with Amy, chatting over lunch.
Yes.
All right. And the last question, we ask this of all of our podcast guests. You're reaching into the candy dish full of M&Ms. Are you hoping for plain or peanut?
Plain, all day.
I would go with plain.
Oh, plain and plain. I think that's the first time I've ever had that. Plain and plain. I'm a peanut person myself, if I have to choose between those two. Well, thank you so much, Amy and Christine, for sharing your time and experience with us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the conversation going. To catch all the latest from the center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov to sign up for our monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was with Carrie McKee, Project Coordinator with Clark County Partners in Prevention, a drug-free communities coalition. During this conversation, we explored the purpose and key components of the Talk They Hear You campaign, discussed how the campaign has been effectively localized, and provided recommendations and resources for other communities looking to implement the Talk They Hear You campaign. This podcast was produced by Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by Zeyu Zhang at the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Thank you all for your work to get positive prevention content out into the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention podcast. For more episodes, you can visit us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.